Session number 32711, Reel 2.
Well, two of us found each other. And our navigator was Van Pelt. He was a fine fella. He was a good navigator. He got us anywhere we went. And the other navigator was, I can't remember his name. But the one on was Steinke, the one that didn't make it on the
quarterback. So by the time you were up there, were you getting any ground contact for navigation, or was it strictly celestial?
No, all celestial.
So by then you were doing sunshots.
And we had radio science, of course.
Yeah, you're doing sunshots by the time you joined up.
Sure.
Over England, we used to shoot flares to form, like our groups.
No.
Red mean you couldn't shoot flares?
No, we didn't do it. We operated by ourselves. We didn't have to do that.
No, but it's for that third ship.
No, we didn't do that.
If you were under radio silence, how did you contact with the other plane to wait the 45 minutes?
They just waited on Sweeney. We were the lead ship. And whatever Sweeney did, they followed because they were the supporting aircraft in the mission. So when Sweeney, he waggled the wings to let them know that I'm going. And then they formed up, the one ship formed up on us. Now, Tibbetts, when he took off, and his rendezvous point was Iwo Jima, and then he got there, and all the other aircraft, the three aircraft, got there, and then he just said, and he didn't have radio sounds, he says, I'm forming up, he says, and I'm leaving for the primary target, and you fellas better come along, and so they just followed Tibbetts.
How old was Sweeney?
Sweeney was, he was about 27 years old.
That's all?
Yeah.
Old man.
Yeah. Brad.
There's also a plot, by the way.
Other than taking over a plane in case of any happened to the pilot, what was the co-pilot's duties while in flight?
Just to help out the pilot. But I was checked out in the 29. If something ever happened to the pilot, I'd have to take over. But that was checked out.
Other than that, you just sat there with him and
looked. Oh, yeah, but I'd fly. I used to scream at him. I used to say, hey, I want to get some of this time. I just want to sit here doing nothing. So we split the time on the mission, pilot and co-pilot.
Well, who did the log work?
That was a navigator.
The navigator did all the flight logs?
Yeah, he had to record everything. Every time he changed directions, he told us what the heading was to go to so-and-so, and that was his job.
Did you ever encounter any Japanese pilots that saw that explosion?
No, I never did.
So any, so even if you saw a Zero or any other aircraft, and they saw the explosion too, you never
received any? I never ran across any pilot at all.
You said that Sweeney and Bach swapped planes, in effect. Now, were you the designated crew for the second mission, or was it?
We were the designated crew.
So wherever you went, Bach went.
Yeah, Sweeney flew with us as a squadron commander. Every time he wanted to get some practice, he flew with us. Because our bombardier had previous experience over in ETO.
Okay.
So did Tibbetts, and so did Van Kirk and Farabee.
Did you have any more bombs out there?
Yeah, there was one more being picked up at Wendover, Utah. And when Tibbetts went to see LeMay on Guam, he said to LeMay said to Tibbetts, you got another one of those things? And Tibbetts said, yeah, there's one back in Wendover. He says, well, you get it over here. He says, well, we've got a crew picking it up now. They were already in Wendover. He says, well, you get it back here. He says, because the next one's going to be dropped on Tokyo, and you're going to be the pilot. But then
what kind of navigation did you use?
Celestial.
Did your group see any further action after the bombs were dropped?
What?
Did your group see any further action or missions after the bombs
were dropped? We had one more. After we dropped the bomb for 5 days, nothing from the three islands flew against the Japanese Empire and hoped that they would surrender and that would be the end of it. Well, they didn't. So they had a one more mission. And everything that could fly, fighters, bombardiers, bombs, bombers and medium bombers flew against the Japanese Empire. And we flew that one. And I remember when we were coming back, it was August 14th. and we were radioed that the Japanese had surrendered.
My brother flew in B-29s, and he told me that he flew in that mission.
Did he?
Said the same thing.
Yeah, everything that could fly. A maximum effort.
Here, Fred, I'll give you these and put those out there.
Okay. Thank you for your attention, and I hope in some way you learned a little bit more about the two atomic bombing. When you read my book, the version I told you here is the version that is the real version. And I don't know, when Sweeney wrote his book called War's End, I said to him, I says, Chuck, I says, that he's a two-star general, but hell, I can call him Chuck. End of the war. But I says, I hope our stories aren't going to be too far apart. And he says, he let his business agent and the wife, he talked to them, and they wrote the story on it. Well, first shot out of the barrel, as soon as the book came out, I was reading through the part that counted the most about our encounter over the city and landing at Okinawa. And sure enough, he says, we had trouble at Okinawa trying to land. And then he says, after we landed, he went to the end of the runway, and he was so bushed and so mentally disturbed about it all that he just got out of the aircraft and walked back to the field. Well, hell, that didn't happen at all. And I don't know why they want to do that. That's why I insist that what I tell them is what's going to be in the book, because that's what happened. And it hasn't changed since 1947 when I got off of active duty. And I've talked to all these different organizations.
That's like Bill Winchell, who was the left waist gunner on Memphis.
Yeah, I know. I remember Bill.
Yeah. He told me one day that the movie they had about 7 or 8 years ago, he said more things went wrong on that last flight in the movie than happened in 25.
That's right.
Fred? I know this is maybe kind of a sore spot. We had a fellow that, of course, I know the story, but when I worked in the video rental store, this friend of mine, we had a guy come in there, and I was telling about you. And he was telling me, oh, yeah, he says, all those guys went nuts afterwards.
There are all kinds of things that were told about us. They said that the two crews that dropped the bombs ended up in an insane asylum because of what we did. Well, that's not so. We got out of service, and everybody went back, and they got married or whatever and carried on and pursued their life's work. And there was only one guy that had a problem. That was, he was with Tibbetts on the Hiroshima mission. His name was Buck Etherly. He was a good pilot, but he was a little kind of a flick because his crew would do crazy things that nobody else would do. But anyway, he went home. The one disappointment in his life that he tried to get a regular Air Force commission, and they turned him down. And I guess that kind of threw him for a loop. And he went home, and he started robbing post offices and little grocery stores and stuff like that. But every time they caught him, the judges would let him go. And finally, he died of cancer of the throat back in 1962 or 63.
Fred, he had problems before the war, too.
Well, he was a big gambler. He was a good pilot. Nobody can take that away from him. But he was a different guy. He was from Texas. And
Fred, why don't you relate that little story about your conversation with Tibbetts about you being transferred from the...
Oh, yeah. When I was preempted from going on the Hiroshima mission with my crew, I thought, well, I'm not going to be going on the second one, sure. But Tibbetts says to me, he says, well, do you want to go? And I said, well, sure. He says, well, okay, you're on. And that was the end of it. And I flew along. As there were actually three pilots on boxcar. Sweeney was the squadron commander, the aircraft commander. Albury was the pilot, and I was the co-pilot. So there were three of us on board. And that added up to the 13. Along with the three other people that weren't part of
Sweeney didn't fly on that mission, right?
Pardon?
Sweeney didn't do any flying.
Oh, hell, we took off from Tinian, and we were about an hour in the air, and he says, okay, Fred, you got it. I'm going back in the tunnel, and he slipped until 1 hour before we came to our rendezvous point. Then, of course, he came up, and he got in the left seat again and took over and flew the rest of the mission.
Yeah. How secure did you feel with that B-29 engine? I heard they were having a lot of problems with it.
Yeah, but we had the latest state-of-the-art.
They weren't reliable, were they?
Well, ours were. We had fuel injection, the latest state-of-the-art. We had, in fact, on our first mission, we had a problem with one of the engines, and we feathered, and we flew all the way back from we were within sight of the Japanese Empire, and I said to Albury, I says, let's pick out a target of opportunity and so we can get credit for the mission. But, of course, he was the aircraft commander, and he said, no, he says, we're going to turn around and go back. So we turned around, we jettisoned the bomb that looked just like the Batman bomb, but it had a different type of explosive in it. It was called Tarpex. It had a little bigger kick than the TNT. And they used those in torpedoes, I understand. And so we dropped that, and we came all the way back to Tinian and landed. And next day they went up, and we had civilian engineers with Boeing and with the Wright engine people, and they took it up. They couldn't find anything wrong with it.
So you actually flew five missions.
Yeah. Four and the atomic, yeah.
Do you talk to Tibbetts at all?
Pardon?
Do you talk to Tibbetts at all?
Oh, sure. I call him Paul.
No!
He doesn't scare me. Neither. In fact, Sweeney was a two-star general, and Tibbetts only got to be a one-star general. Because Tibbetts, I guess, when he had the charge of this silver plate, when he was gathering all the people and all the aircraft and the equipment he needed, he must have stepped on some toes because he never got more than one star, and he should have got more.
Did they ever ask any of the guys before you they were ready to go whether they wanted to go ahead and go through with the mission?
Yeah, this is the one thing that Tibbetts did. He said that after he briefed us and told us everything was going to happen, he said, if there's anybody here that feels that they don't want to be a part of this because you're going to kill a lot of people, just speak up now and you'll be taken off the crew, but there'll be no action taken against you. But nobody did. Everybody that was on the assigned crews stayed and went through whatever happened to them.
Yeah. Did you ever track, all your fellow crew members, in regards to as time went on? Did any of your crew members have children that were, like, disabled or anything like that?
We had none of that. Everybody had normal children.
Wish I had some normal.
Yeah. Any other questions?
How old is Sweeney now?
Sweeney he's 83 is Tibbetts. Tibbetts is 83.
Tibbetts would be 79 if he was 27 back then.
He was he'd be about 80 now.
Is he still senior?
Oh, yeah, I'll see him at the reunion. We're going to have a reunion in Washington, D.C., hopefully in October. They can make
it. How many are you all left?
No, on our crew, of the original 13, there's only 7. It's and on Tibbetts' crew, there's only 6.
You all going to the White House?
Let me tell you about the White House. Let me tell you about that. When my mother found out that I was a part of the mission, all the neighbors told her that, she's going to go to the White House to meet the president. Well, my mother was born in Italy and not very educated, and that would have been a big thing for her. But it never happened because we never were invited because it was such a controversy, and such a controversy to this day that it never occurred. But it would have been the highlight of her life.
I take it you're not going along with the Smithsonian opinion.
In fact, I dropped my membership, and so did a lot of other people.
Sure.
But we've made up with them, or Tibbetts has made up with them anyway. And they are going to display the NOLA gain in its entirety in 2003 or something like that, when everything gets released. Yes.
Fred, while you're talking about Smithsonian, I did the same thing you did. I dropped it. And they personally called me, and they said, you know, you dropped it. Yes. And I said, yeah. I said, I really can't support an organization
That's right.
that is not going along with the facts. And they said, what facts? I said, well, you know, the NOLA gay and the Bakker, but that was in the Smithsonian. The NOLA gay and the Flying Tigers. I said, you wrote that book, which is all wrong. You're praising the Japanese for what they did. And the volunteer group was all wrong.
Sure.
And they said, well, you know, all that's changed now. And I said, yeah, I'm watching it, and if you keep it up for another 5 years, I'll join again.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But they did call.
You'll get a lot of opinions on whether the bomb was supposed to be dropped, but you'll never hear anybody who was on a ship headed for Japan for the invasion say that it was a bad idea.
I've been, like I said, I give speeches in different places, and I've been in a number of places where it was announced from the podium that I was in the audience or whatever. And then after the presentation, I've had Marines come to me and shake my hand and say, thank you for my grandchildren. They were scheduled, of course, they're the first ones to go in on the invasion anyway. But they were scheduled to go in November 1st of 1945. We were going to invade the Japanese Empire. And it would have been a bloodbath because they were waiting for us. They had women and children trained. When the GIs landed, they had poison sticks that they were going to
bamboo
like bungee sticks?
Hmm?
Something like bungee sticks?
Well, whatever they had.
I was sitting in Okinawa. I was a member of the 11th Airborne Division. I was part of that plan to invade Japan. Bless you for dropping it.
But it would have been the biggest invasion. It would have dwarfed the June 6th invasion in 1944. Of France, because everything that was going to be available was going to be over there. People from Europe that were Jewish were being transferred over to the South Pacific, because they knew that if we would have landed successfully and gotten into the interior, we would have fought the entire Japanese population, because that's the way they were. They didn't give up. They believed if you died for the emperor, you went to heaven.
Well, that would have been last April. Al Kitch and I made a trip. We went over to Europe, but prior to that, we went to Washington. And Al and a relative that took us through a tour of the Pentagon. Well, I had no idea at all what the Pentagon was built. The Pentagon was built as a hospital just to take care of all the casualties from that invasion of Japan.
That's right. They expected all types of casualties. Well, they expected a million. Between dead and wounded in taking the Japanese Empire. And it would have been a bloodbath, believe me.
When those aren't on the boxcar, how original is it? Because, you know, the NOLA gay is pretty bland.
Well, that's the way Tibbetts wanted it. That name, NOLA gay, was put on the night before the mission. And in fact, Lewis, the co-pilot, used to fly as aircraft commander, and he got to be co-pilot on the Hiroshima mission. He was very unhappy about that because he felt that it was his crew, and he should be the one to name the aircraft. Well, Tibbetts is a commanding officer; he can do what the hell ever he wants. But this guy Lewis got so mad over that, and they were real close together before, that he never spoke. In fact, he's written a lot of letters to people. Being very derogatory about Tibbetts and what he did about taking over and naming the aircraft instead of letting Lewis do it. Yes.
Another thank you. I worried about a lot of things in the war ended. Came home and I was waiting to go to the Pacific.
That's right.
So thank you again.
they had people all gathering over in the South Pacific because it would have been a real big invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just dawned on me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your attention, and I hope that you learned a little bit.